Samuel, chapter 19, book of 2 Samuel, chapter 19, this morning, your Bibles, and we're going to look at an Old Testament account to show us a New Testament truth. It's a biblical truth, and as we look at this account, a familiar account, I believe, as we consider the reign of King David. The reign of King David comes to a time of turmoil when his son, his rebellious son, lifts his head against King David, and David has to flee Jerusalem for a time. And now the Joab has done away with Absalom. And David is returning, and David is returning to Jerusalem. And we're going to begin reading in verse 29, actually verse 30, in verse 30. Bible says, "And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with a king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and I can discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste that what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it with me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Shimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Shimham shall go over with me, and I will do unto him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he turned unto his own place." The invitation of the king, the invitation that David makes to Barzillai. Of course, we see here an account. David returning to Jerusalem after the rebellion of Absalom has been squelched. And he's going back now in peace to see what he's going to have to repair, what it is that Absalom has destroyed, and to regain again his place as the king of Israel. In doing so, here comes Barzillai and desires to see the king over Jordan. And because he has done this, the king extends to him what? An invitation. He extends to Barzillai an invitation to come over. In verse 34 is that invitation. Barzillai said unto the king, How long shall I live, and should I go with a king unto Jerusalem? The king desired again for him to come across and to dwell with him, and that he would do what? That he would feed him. He was going to be with him in Jerusalem. He's going to feed him. In essence, the king was going to take care of all the needs that Barzillai had that were going to be met. Who would give up an opportunity like that? Anybody? Would anybody give up an opportunity? The king comes and says, you come, and you can sit at my table, and you can partake of what I eat, you eat, and I'm going to take care of you. Would anybody reject that offer from the king? Brother Bob says he would reject it. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't reject it. Okay, I'd take him up on it. But that was an offer, an invitation from the king. But the message is entitled this morning, "The Rejection of the King." Because what did Barzillai do? He did exactly what Brother Bob said he would do. He would reject it. He'd say, no, not me. Count me out. And again, the rejection of the king. We'll look at this passage, and we'll conclude the message with a New Testament principle, biblical principle that is taught here from this account. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd use your word to, Lord, to strengthen us. I pray that you would use your word to open our eyes, Lord, again to the way that we live. And Father, I pray that we would recognize again the invitation which you give to each of us. And Father, I pray that we would be accepting of it, again, that you might be glorified through it. We ask for your blessing upon this time. Bless your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at this time, in no way do I want to disparage the good character, the person, again, who is Barzillai. That is not my intent this morning, but my desire is for us to look at this invitation and to recognize, again, the rejection of the invitation which Barzillai made, and how it is that we can apply it, how we can apply this truth again to our lives even this morning. So let's begin here as we look at the Word of God, and we begin the rejection of the king with Barzillai's character. The character of this individual was one of faithfulness. He was a faithful individual. You see, Barzillai did not come to the king all of a sudden now after the king is returning to Jerusalem. Because before, we see Barzillai before this. In the book of 2 Samuel, if you would turn there this morning, the book of 2 Samuel, we'll read an account again. The narrative, the Bible gives us, is that Absalom has overtaken Jerusalem, and he has come and has overtaken the palace, the house of the king, and has done some things again that were contrary to his dad. There are things that were contrary to God, by the way. And so David is going away. He's running for basically his life. But in doing so, he encounters individuals who continue to stand faithfully by him. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithira, an Israelite that went on in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Here is Barzillai with a character of faithfulness. He's a faithful man. You see, when a king is in charge, when a king is upon his throne, there are individuals that will follow the king. They will listen to his directives. They will desire again to do things to honor and to please the king. But when that king, for whatever reason, leaves the throne, he's no longer in charge, those same people that would follow him and would adhere again to his word, once he leaves the throne, what do? They quit following. They're no longer his friends. They were there perhaps for convenience. They were there perhaps for the sake of receiving again the king's favor. But many times once that king passes on or the king is no longer in a place of authority, people quit following or quit being around him. Not with Barzillai. Here we have the King David has been dethroned by his son Solomon in rebellion. And Solomon has overtaken that position of himself. And so David is fleeing for his life. He's fleeing for his life. And you would think, well, Barzillai, hey, you may as well start following Absalom, because if you don't, guess what? If they find out that you are following David or helping David instead of following Absalom, what's going to happen? You're going to die. However, Barzillai was faithful. And he comes to David's side and he brings again food, and he brings a plate or a bed again for the king to lie in. And he just supplies him again with sustenance to keep him while he is away from Jerusalem. You look at Barzillai's character, and it's a character of an individual who's faithful. Not only is he faithful, but he is a man who is loyal, a man who we mentioned already, who desires again to care for the king, even though or for David, even though he's not in the place of the king at that point, and still is loyal to him in his exile. That is contrary again to the character of another individual. There was an individual again who at one time was a counselor of David, and his name was Ahithophel. Ahithophel was one of the counselors of David, and yet when David was in exile, guess what happened? Ahithophel went to serve Absalom, to give Absalom counsel. And there's a reason again why Ahithophel did this. I believe Ahithophel was a bitter man. He was a man who was bitter at David for some of his past actions, but that is for another day. But Ahithophel was not a loyal individual. He was a man, again, the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 12 tells us concerning Ahithophel. Bible says in verse 12 of 2 Samuel 15, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So Dave, or Absalom, knew that Ahithophel was not happy with David. And so he goes and calls for him, and even though he used to be the counselor of David, he comes to Absalom and is going to be his counselor now. So in 2 Samuel chapter 16 now, in verse 21, and Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Here's a counsel again of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the Bible says that Ahithophel's counsel was as a man speaking the oracles of God. You see, at one time, Ahithophel's word was what would happen. When Ahithophel said something, David would do it. He was his counselor. And now Ahithophel is counseling against David, and he's telling Absalom what to do, and he desires again for him to take over the palace, take over the concubines. Chapter 17 in verse 1 goes on again and says this, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Isn't that something? Ahithophel goes from being a counselor to David, from counseling him, from giving him advice, to now desiring to do what? To kill him. Ahithophel says, hey, Absalom, let me go with 12,000 men, and I personally will go and kill David. What a shame, again, this man who at one time was a confidant, a counselor to the king, now he's standing against him and desires even to take his life. We're looking at Barzillai's character, but comparing him again with Ahithophel, because we're looking at the loyalty of Barzillai, who followed David, whether he was what? Whether he was in charge or not. It didn't matter. You see, there's a loyalty that prevailed again in the life of Barzillai, and he was willing again to stick with the king. He was willing to stick with David because he knew that he was the anointed of God. He was the one whom God had anointed to be the king of Israel. And Absalom, though Absalom and his rebellion had risen up against him, David was still considered the king in the eyes of Barzillai, and he continued to follow him, to be loyal to the man whom God had chosen. We see, first of all, the Barzillai's character, but secondly, we see, as you go back to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 19, we see the king's offer. The king offered again for Barzillai. Barzillai comes as the king is returning to Jerusalem, and Barzillai desires to see the king go over Jordan and go back into back to Jerusalem. And the king makes an offer to Barzillai. In verse 33, Bible says, and the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. He says what? He says, you come over with me. You come over with me, and I will feed you with me in Jerusalem. An offer. Of what? To be cared for. An offer to meet the needs that he had. Barzillai, you come over with me, and every need that you have, I will meet. Every need that you have, I will take care of. I'm not going to put you in another place. I'm not going to put you in another room. I'm not going to put you in a lesser place. I'll put you at my table. Whatever I eat, you eat. Whatever I have, you have. It wasn't you're going to be with the servants' quarter in the servants' quarters. It wasn't you're going to be in a lesser place. No, you're going to have what the king has. I've never eaten at a king's table. But I've been to a king's buffet. I went one time. There was an individual in when we were in Michigan, he says, "Have you ever been to the king's buffet?" I said, "No, I've never been to the king." He says, "Man, you need to go to the king's buffet." He says, "I'm going to set up a time and I'm going to take you and your family and we're going to go to the king's buffet." He says, "Man, this place is nice." And so I think it was on a Friday night. He says, "You know, let's schedule this date and we'll go this day and I'll take care of it. I'm going to take care of everything. You just come along with us." And so we go to this King's Buffet, and man, I'll tell you what, I've never been to a buffet like this one. I mean, they had ham, they had roast beef, they had crab, they had it laid out. And it was a buffet. I mean, you eat what you know, all you want to eat until you can't eat anymore. I mean, when I saw that thing with all the meat and all the side dishes and all, I'm making you hungry now. all the desserts. I thought, man, this must be again what a king's a table looks like. But this is what he was invited to. This is what he was invited to. This is what he was offered. This was the offer again, which the king made, which David made again to Barzillai. "Hey, Barzillai, you come over. I'm going to make you an offer, Barzillai. I want you to come over with me, and I want you to eat with me, and I want you to be in Jerusalem with me." Jerusalem was a holy city. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, as it is today. Praise the Lord. Huh? Amen. Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place, again, to be. That's where the king's house was at. The king's offer was an offer made to Barzillai. He wouldn't have to pay for it. He didn't have to do anything else. His life would be fully taken care of. What an offer. What an opportunity. Barzillai had an opportunity to go over into Jerusalem and to eat at the king's table, to live in the king's house, have the best again of the best. Every need, every care provided for him by the king. By the king. That was in verse 33 that Barzillai was made the offer. But we're looking at the rejection. There was a rejection here of the king, of the offer. Verse 34, "And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with a king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Shimham, let him go over with my lord, the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. We see Barzillai's character, then we see the king's offer. We just read Barzillai's reasoning. He's going to reject it. He rejects the offer. He rejects again what the king just offered him to come over and to eat with him and to be with him in Jerusalem. He rejected it. And he mentions again the fact that what? He's impaired because of his age. Because I'm 80 years old. What does he say concerning how his impairment again would affect his judgment? He says, I am this day fourscore years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Well, actually, yeah, you can. Did he not discern it already? He chose to serve the king. He chose to stay with David instead of go with Absalom. So this wasn't a very good excuse, was it? He's impaired. My judgment isn't very good. I can't tell. You know, your servant can't discern between good and evil. It's been said that if we're going to make excuses, any excuse is good. It doesn't matter. He says then, can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Why do I want to go to Jerusalem with you, David? I can't even taste the food that I'm going to eat or the drink that I drink. So what that there's a lamb? Oh, I was going to say pork, but there wouldn't have been pork. So what that there's beef? So what that you have whatever the king eats? What does it matter? I can't taste it anymore. What good is it to me? He says, when it comes to the music, he says, I can't hear it. I can't enjoy the singing again, or the men singing, or the women singing. I can't hear. My hearing's not good. He goes on to say that he doesn't want to be a burden to him. He goes on to say that he wants to be buried where his parents are buried. Huh? If there's one word that sticks out to me in Barzillai's excuse, it's one word. That sticks out. What is it? Tell me. What is a word that sticks out that Barzillai uses time after time after time? What is it? I. It's I. I. You know what kept Barzillai from accepting the king's offer? It was I. It was me. It's I. It's I. Rejected the king's offer because of I. I'm too old. I can't discern judgment between good and evil. I can't taste. I can't hear. Just I. I want to be buried by my parents. No offense. No offense to people that are close and family and want to be buried next to. But you know what? I don't care where you bury me. I really don't. Guess what? I'm not going to know. I'm not going to know. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me if you have a funeral for me. One thing I do ask, if you come to my funeral, if my casket is open, you go up there and shut it. I've told my wife. I said, do not open my casket. I do not want people gawking at me. I'm not going to be there though, right? But I told her, don't open my casket. Don't open it. I don't even remember like that. But Barzillai rejected the offer of the king. To be with the king. To be in the king's palace. To be in Jerusalem with the king. To eat at the king's table. He rejected it. Why? Because of I. All these different excuses that he made. And they were all about who? They were all about him. And we look at him and we say, man, if I had the opportunity, if I had the opportunity that Barzillai had, I would take him, I would take the king up on it. Now watch what you say. You better watch what you say. You know where I'm going, don't you? You know where I'm going with this. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 1, the Bible says this, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to them, or bid to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. There were those that were bidden. There were those that were invited. They were invited to what? To the marriage supper of the Son. And what'd they say? Nah. We're busy. One had a farm. He went to his farm. The other one had business to conduct. He says no. It doesn't matter whether it's I or whether it's a farm or business. They were kept from where? From coming to the marriage of the Son. Now there are those that reject the offer of the king to salvation. There are those that will offer salvation that is offered again from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says, what? Come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an offer from the King. He says, you come. You come. You're burdened. You're heavy laden. He says, I'm going to take that burden from you, that burden of sin. I'll take it from you. You see, David didn't tell Barzillai, Barzillai, you have to give me everything that you have, and then you can come and then live with me. No, no, no. It was a free offer. It was a free offer. He says, you come across, you come. You come. But Barzillai begins to do what? Make excuses why he wouldn't come. And today we make excuses why, people make excuses why they won't come. Why they won't come. And they don't have to be the excuses again that Barzillai made about going to Jerusalem. But most of the excuses, if not all of the excuses which people make, which people give for not coming to the Lord, all deal with who? With I. Simply I. Who holds individuals from coming to the Lord? I, themselves. Nobody else. They said, oh, the devil, no, 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 the devil doesn't keep you from it. It's I and the excuses that are made by man. Whatever excuse, oh, you're going to church today? No, it might rain. It might snow. We're in Texas, but it might snow, right? Whatever excuse you want to give for not accepting, whatever excuse you want to give is your excuse. But guess what? No excuse is going to hold water. It doesn't matter in the end. There's no excuse that's going to be valid. There's no excuse that's going to be valid for rejecting the King's offer. Barzillai had an opportunity to come and to feast with the King. There are those, again, that reject the offer, the King's offer of salvation. But then there are those that will offer or reject the King's offer of fellowship. A fellowship. You see, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, where that passage that I quoted, where the Lord makes the offer, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That part right there speaks of salvation. He wants to give you rest from the burden of sin, from laboring again to get in, and yet you don't need to labor. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is talking about fellowship with the Lord. And you see, as believers, we've been given salvation. And you know what happens many times? We trust the Lord for salvation, but then we want to get to the place of sanctification on our own. We want to get to that place of being holy and being separate. And we want to do it in our own strength and our own power. And yet the Apostle Paul says, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so the Bible tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In this passage in Matthew 11:9, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Too many times as believers, we walk around with, we're trying to live this Christian life in the best way that we possibly can, when we don't need to. We don't need to. You see, that offer is extended to us as believers to do what? To open the door and to sup with the Lord. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will what? I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. That is not speaking about salvation. That is speaking about fellowship. It's an offer from the king to do what? You open the door and guess what? We can go ahead and sup together. You know, because as hard as we try, as hard as we attempt, our trying and our labor will never get us to the place where we need to be. We'll never get to the place where we ought to be. The Apostle Paul said what in the book of Philippians? For me, to live is what? Is Christ. For me, to live is Christ. And he mentioned again, to die is gain. And he was speaking about the physical death, but you know what? Look at that in a spiritual sense. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know who needs to die? I do. Self. Self needs to die. And the Lord has provided all that we need. The Lord has given to us all that has supplied every single need for us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. And he says, you know what? He says, you come to Jerusalem and you eat with me. Accept the offer that he makes. Accept the offer that he gives. Of what? Of what he's already done. The problem is we just won't accept what God has done for us. We won't accept it. He's given us a victory, but we won't live like it. We have the Spirit to lead us, to guide us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within us, to live through us. And too many times we say what? Stand back. I got this. Stand back. I know how to do this. I know how to take care of this. Instead of allowing the Lord to live through us. And we may look at Barzillai this morning and we say, man, Barzillai. Man, if I had that opportunity you had, if I would have the chance that you had, Barzillai, there's no way I would have made the excuses that you made. There's no way. I would have gone in. I would have taken it. I would have taken the king's offer. I would have. Then why don't you? Then why don't you this morning? Why don't you this morning? Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to please God in your own strength. Quit trying to serve God in your own strength. As was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Why do we have so many believers falling away, burning out? You know why? Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. Now, the ministry, the work of the Lord, entails labor, entails work. But when it is work in the Spirit, it's not as labor-intensive. When the Spirit is working in, it's just our body that gets tired. What wears people out is what? Is a worry. The burden of all the, what isn't happening, what needs to be happening. Why don't you let God take care of that? The rejection of the king. He was loyal. He was faithful. But he had some reasoning again that dealt.